Into hour number three, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so we start our third and final hour. Nice to have you here. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. In case you missed it, we had another Patriot on, Kyle Van Noy, and he crushed it. What a great appearance. That was back in hour number one. Kyle Van Noy, Super Bowl 53 champ. We had Kelvin Sampson on the program in hour two. Coming up next segment, I've got a guard for Murray State, John Morant. And the phone lines are open in the meantime, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email the program or tweet at the program. If you want to email, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Meantime, breaking news. The Browns are bringing in Kareem Hunt. And the Browns have a statement. We know that John Dorsey has a prior relationship with Kareem Hunt. They're signing Kareem Hunt. Remember, he had been released by the Chiefs back in November after a video was released showing him pushing and kicking a woman. The statement from GM John Dorsey, and Cleveland's got this on Twitter. I'm reading from the statement. Quote, "My relationship and interaction with Kareem since 2016 in college was an important part of this decision-making process. But we then did extensive due diligence with many individuals, including clinical professionals, to have a better understanding of the person he is today and whether it was prudent to sign him. There were two important factors. One is that Kareem took full responsibility for his egregious actions, and he showed true remorse. And secondly, and just importantly, he is undergoing and is committed to necessary professional treatment and a plan that has been clearly laid out." All right, so there's more to that statement. That's that statement in part. So again, Dorsey's got a relationship with Hunt that goes back a long way. You had to know that somebody was going to try and sign him. I wonder about the league investigation and discipline coming out first. Hey, listen, I love everything about this team. I love everything that this team has done in the past year. I've said they're America's team. They've got America's coach. They have America's quarterback. I love the Browns. At this point, I don't love this move. Based on that videotape. And I'm never going to love or condone a move or a transaction when I see somebody do something like that on that tape. So I don't love that move, honestly. I mean, as a player and what he can do for that offense, sure. But I can't separate the two. And I read the statement, and he said, well, this is why we're doing this. There are two things. One, and again, I've not spoken to Kareem Hunt since Super Bowl of last year. So I don't know what's in this guy's head and heart. I just know what he did on that videotape, and it's pretty reprehensible. He's saying, I know him. I have a relationship with him. We have spoken to him. And the two factors are, quote, he's taken full responsibility for his egregious actions and show true remorse. And number two, he is undergoing and is committed to the necessary professional treatment. Generally, this is what a team says when they sign somebody like this. So again, I love the Browns. I love every move they've made in the past year. I love how they look on the field. I love what they're doing. I love how they're building it. I love their coach. I love their quarterback, and I love the way they approach it. At this point, I do not love that move. We'll see. Hopefully he has changed. Hopefully he is remorseful. Hopefully he is sorry. Hopefully he is getting the help he needs. But there's no way to ever, ever condone, rationalize, or justify what I saw on that videotape. It's reprehensible. C-Town, where do you come out? Do you have any issue with this? The Browns sign Kareem Hunt. And listen, I don't love the move. I'm never going to be one of those guys who sit here and says, yeah, well, that's a great football move. I don't love that move at all. We'll see. Yes. C-Town, where do you come out on this? What is your reaction to this? All these things, all these moves, everything trending the right way. Kareem Hunt's got a statement. Quote, first off, I would like to once again apologize for my actions last February. What I did was wrong and inexcusable. This is not the man that I was raised to be. And I've learned a great deal from that experience and certainly should have been more truthful about it after the fact. I'm extremely grateful that John Dorsey, D, and Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns organization are granting me the opportunity to earn their trust and represent their organization in the best way possible on and off the field. I am committed to following the necessary steps to learn and to be a better and healthier person from this situation. I also understand the expectations that the Browns have clearly laid out. And I have to earn my way back to the NFL. I'm a work in progress as a person, but I'm committed to taking advantage of the support systems that I have in place to become the best and healthier version of myself. So that's his statement. Browns fans, do you like this? What is your reaction to it? Are you glad that they're signing him? Or would you not go anywhere near a guy like that based on what you saw? The Chiefs did the right thing. The Chiefs cut him quickly, swiftly. They did the right thing. So has he done enough? Has he said enough? Do you accept this? Do you think that he is sorry? Sorry for what he did or sorry that he lost his job? Sorry for what he did or sorry to be in the position he's in right now? And Browns fans, do you like it? I can tell you this. Well, first of all, if you take a guy like that and you put that in the offense, yeah, I'd be excited about it. But there's a reason why this guy's available. It's hard for me to be excited about this, honestly. Really, really hard to be excited about this. And I've been really, really excited about everything relating to the Browns. I'm not surprised he and John Dorsey have a prior relationship. Ryan in Houston. He tweets, Browns statement translation. Kareem Hunt can still run really fast. And we will use him until he does something stupid again. Guys who are really good and really talented and irreplaceable will always get a second chance. We know this. So he's saying what you'd expect him to say. They're saying what you'd expect them to say. Has he changed? Is he sorry? Does he deserve that shot? Well, he's getting it. Myself, I'm really, really excited about the Browns. Really excited about everything they're doing. I'm not that excited about that, frankly. I guess what I'm saying is this. They've got so many amazing things going for them right now. So much good going for them right now. This doesn't feel like another one of those things. This does not feel good. We'll see how it plays out. It does not feel good like all those other things felt amazing. 1-800-636-8686. So where do you come out on this? Browns fans, I'm looking for you. Browns fans, how do you feel about this? How does that make you feel? Do you like this? When everything is going so well right now, does this feel like a good thing? Does this feel like something to be excited about? I'm not excited about it. And again, I've been really excited about everything. In terms of the deal itself, Ian Rappaport tweets, the Browns signed Kareem Hunt to a one-year deal that could be worth more than $1 million, not factoring in the suspension, a source said. More than the minimum, after this year, he'll be an RFA, restricted free agent. All right, so I'll open it up to you. Those are my thoughts. I'm really excited about the Browns, really excited about literally everything they've done in the past year. And I'm not really excited about this move. Because I've seen that videotape, and it was deplorable. Still ahead, Ja Morant, Murray State Racers guard. He will be joining us. I'm opening up the phones, and I really want to hear from you Browns fans. Do you like that move? Is he sorry? Should they have done it? Or should they have left well enough alone? Because things are really good right now with that team. There are so many good things going on right now. Does this feel good to you or not? All right, we'll come right back. Ja Morant joins me next. Open phones after that. I want to finish my thoughts on the Lakers and Magic. Hefty gets himself a nice paycheck. And Adrian Broner and Jim Gray are still going at it. Well, Jim Gray is not. He's just minding his own business. All of that still ahead, and your telephone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So, breaking news, the Browns signed Kareem Hunt. More on that in a minute, but I want to talk some college basketball. We are joined right now by a guard from Murray State. He is a Wooden Award top 20 list player. 20 points and 6 assists, 5 rebounds in Saturday's win. For the season, he's averaging 24 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds per game. He is looking to become the first player to average 20 points and 10 assists per game since the assist was an official NCAA stat. Murray State is 19-4. They're 10-2 in conference play. They're at App State on Thursday night. Ja Morant is my guest. Ja, it's so good to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good, dude. Listen, there are so many different places where we could start, but let me start right here. You are having one of the all-time great season in college basketball history. You're being talked about as a high lottery pick. You're being compared to NBA greats. Your team is in first place in the conference. How is life for you right about now?
Life's good. Receiving a lot of attention. Became one of the most talked about players in college basketball. Coming from being under the radar, so it's good.
Good, man. It's good, and you've earned all that. You had a number of highlight plays on Saturday, including that tomahawk dunk at the end of the game. But earlier in the game, you did something that I'm not sure I've ever seen before. You blocked a shot twice, once with each hand. What do you remember about that play?
Now, we was in the press, and the offensive team was just trying to send the player down the floor. They threw a pass ahead, and I went to contest the shot and got a piece of it with my left hand and finished it with my right. So,
like I said, yeah, that was something else. I don't think I've ever seen that before. You know, and then there are the dunks, right? There are so many iconic dunks in your career at Murray State. It's hard to pick just one. But there is that dunk against UT Martin where you went over a 6'8" defender. What's going through your head when you see somebody look to take a charge in a situation like that, and then you just go right over him?
I just looked to finish the play like I did in that game, and it's just something that I was surprised about myself.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say, is there ever a moment? I mean, obviously you can do a lot of different things. Is there ever a moment, though, maybe where you can't believe what you just did, or does everything seem pretty normal and expected?
No, actually, I think that's probably one of the plays that surprised me, jumping over the defender.
Good, because that was crazy to me. Ja Morant joining us. Now, the thing is, it's not just about your athletic ability. It's also about your brain. Your head coach, Matt McMahon, said, quote, he's a basketball genius, a once-in-a-lifetime player, end of quote. Like, where does that basketball genius and your head for the game come from?
I'd say probably being around basketball all my life and just watching a lot of basketball and studying film is probably some things that help.
Now, still, your journey to this spot is pretty amazing. You're from Dalzell, South Carolina. What was life like for you in Dalzell? For those, and I don't know, what's Dalzell like?
It's really a small town. I say just me and some of my family live there. Once you probably turn off our road, you'll go right into Sumter. So it's really just almost a road, I'd say. And that's where we live.
I mean, literally, like, it's just a road, and there's not much else.
It's just I have a lot of family. We all stay really on the same road. So, really, that's probably Dalzell, really. You probably go down the street or something, and you'll still be in Dalzell. But once you probably try to go downtown, you go straight into Sumter.
Got it. Now, you mentioned family. Your father, T, actually played with Ray Allen in high school and was a double-double machine in college. The two of you worked out when you were growing up. What were those sessions like, and what did you learn from him?
I learned a lot from him. He really just taught me the basics, the fundamentals of the game, and through every workout, we do that. And also, he had me jump on tires after every drill just to help me get more explosive and get my feet faster. So it was a really good workout. He pushed me hard, and it all paid off.
John Morant joining us. It certainly did. Now, you played for the SC Hornets AAU team, which also included Zion Williamson. But as you pointed out at the very start of the interview, you were not getting a lot of recruiting interest from schools. What was that like for you? Did you feel like they were overlooking you and your potential?
I felt like I was overlooked a lot. I used to question myself, was I good enough to play the game of basketball? And it was sometimes I just felt like stopping, and my parents just helped me a lot with talking to me and keeping my head on and just told me to keep pushing and that it would pay off, and it paid off one day in a gym at a camp. Coach James Kane came and peeked his head in there, and that's when it all started.
So what happened that day when the coach came in and saw what was going on? Did you know that was going to be a significant day in your life? What happened that day?
I didn't know it was going to be a significant day. I knew it would be a day that I would have a chance to prove myself. But I was in a back gym, the little auxiliary gym, and playing a 3-on-3 game. And coach peeked his head in, and he started watching. I think he got to know my dad real well. And I think after that camp, we had a game, and he came to the game, and one of my teammates, Tevin Brown, had a lot of schools, so we played against each other, and I think that's the game that I probably broke out and got my name out there.
John Moran joining us. I want to be sure that people understand this. So what's going on is you're grinding away, you're working on your game, and then the coach we're talking about is James Kane. He was an assistant at Murray State, and they were in Spartanburg to watch Tevin Brown, who was already being recruited by the Racers. Kane sees you playing in that game, that auxiliary gym. He calls his boss, Matt McMahon, to get over there immediately, and then he drives 3 hours to watch, and he gives you a scholarship offer right there on the spot. That's the story. I mean, is that literally how it went down?
Yes, it went down just like that. I actually think I received the offer in the parking lot after one of the games.
Wow. So if you're grinding away and then there were moments where you doubted yourself, and even if you know you have what it takes, it doesn't mean that you're going to get that opportunity. What was it like to get that offer in the parking lot?
It was just an honor to see coaches who've seen something in me. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that I decided to come to Murray State.
What about that? So what led you to know or to believe that Murray State was the right place and the right program for you?
They just made me a priority. And one thing that helped me make my decision was not picking a school that I wanted to go to, but a school that wanted me. And Murray State showed a lot of love from the beginning and made me feel like I was at home when I came on my visit. And just the playing style, I felt like the playing style fitted me very well.
And then there's the story of you committing to Murray State, which is pretty awesome. It involves you allegedly getting overheated at the coach's house. Is that true? What happened there?
I really just talked with my parents about committing, and they wanted to commit in a good way and told me to just fake sick and go to the bathroom and then come out with the Murray State gear on. And I did. Coach Matt was actually panicking. He was like, do I need to turn the air down? Do I need to turn the air down? And when he turned around, I came out of the bathroom with the Murray State shirt on, and everybody just started cheering.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome. We're talking to John Morant. So you averaged 13 points, 6 assists, and 7 rebounds as a freshman. And then after last season, you were invited to the Chris Paul Elite Guard Academy. That meant that you were going to compete against the best guards in the country. What was that experience like for you, and what did that do for your confidence coming into the season?
It was a great experience, actually, just to even be considered one of the top guards in college basketball, and being able to go to the camp, and also just being able to go to the camp and have a good showing and put myself out there.
You know, the other thing, too, that sticks out from your freshman season is the fact that you and assistant Shane Nichols spent hours watching film. When you're watching film, what are the types of things that you're looking for, and then how much has that helped your game?
I really look more at my mistakes than the good things I do on the floor, just to see like where I can fix some of my mistakes, or also just to read the defense, see how the defense was playing. So if we have them on the schedule again, I know what to look for. So,
all right, so if you're looking for things that you do wrong that you can fix as opposed to what you can do right, I would imagine you're trying to be careful with some of the praise, because, man, there is just crazy stuff. And I mean really positive things. Like, as an example, Jay Billis from ESPN. This is one of the most respected people in college basketball, and he's not throwing around praise like this. He says that he watched Russell Westbrook at UCLA, and you remind him of Westbrook, except you are, quote, a little bit ahead skill-wise and shooting-wise than Westbrook was at that time, end quote. I mean, that's really high praise. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Actually, I love it. Russell Westbrook is my favorite player, somebody I look up to. I just love how he played the game with, like, a chip on his shoulder, just aggressive. And also, like, how he do a lot on the floor. He has an all-around game, and that's how I play. I try to do anything I can on the floor to help my team win, and also play with a chip on my shoulder.
Or so that makes sense to me. Like, Russ does have that chip. Russ has always had that chip. And, you know, when I look at you and I look at him, you're explosive. Like, he's explosive, and he's your guy, so you love that. But it's not like he's the only guy. I mean, you're blowing up and getting more and more hype after every single game. You're compared to Russ, but also Damian Lillard. Mock drafts have you going higher and higher, but you keep talking about being focused and being right where your feet are. So how do you stay focused at a time like this when every single day it's something new?
Really, I give most of the credit probably to my coaches, my teammates, my parents, and family. They really helped me with the whole process. And since my name started to blow up, they haven't looked at me no different than they have before. And also, I just turn my notifications off so I don't see everything.
That's a good move right there. That's a veteran move right there. He's a Murray State guard. He's a Wooden Award Top 20 lister. And again, trying to become the first player, or could become the first player, to average 20 points and 10 assists per game since the assist became an official stat. Murray State is at App State Thursday. Ja Morant, my guest. Ja, I appreciate you. It's fun to watch, man. You are really fun to watch, and really nice to have you on the show today. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you.
You have a great day. My man is explosive. And if you don't know him, you should know him. And if you don't know him, do a quick search. He has done some amazing things. Of course, if you're being compared to Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard, and mock drafts have you going higher and higher every single day, there's a reason for that. All right, when we come back, your reaction to it? Also, I'm still looking for your reaction to Kareem Hunt. If you're a Browns fan, do you love that move, or do you really not like that move? Are you maybe ambivalent about that? Or is there no gray area? I told you my thoughts on it. I love this team. They're America's team. They've got America's coach. They've got America's quarterback. I love everything they've done in the past year. Like, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for Browns news. That, to me, does not feel great. I'm not excited about that right now, because I've seen that videotape. You know, I'm never excited about something like that because that's a reprehensible thing. So he's saying, I'm sorry. I'm trying to become a better person. I'm getting the help I need. And John Dorsey has a prior relationship. Big news day. Kyler Murray has announced his decision to play in the NFL. If, in fact, that's what that is, that's not surprising either. The guy loves football. Not only loves football, but loves playing quarterback. And if he's going to pursue that, he needs to make that decision right now with the combine coming up. If he wants to be a first-round draft pick, he's got to make that call right now. We had Kyle Van Noy in hour number one. To answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So as I mentioned, it is a big news day. Big news day. And the latest news is the Browns have signed Kareem Hunt. And I'm trying to ask the question. I'm trying to get your reaction. Do you like that move? If you're a Browns fan, do you like that move? If you're not a Browns fan, what's your take on this? And I gave you my thoughts. I love the Browns. I've been hyping the Browns for the better part of several months. I think they're America's team. I started by saying they're America's team, and I got a lot of heat for that. Like, what are you talking about, Rome? They're the Browns. I got on the NFL on CBS one Sunday in New York, and I said they're America's team. Got a lot of heat for it. Then they went out and they beat the Ravens. So I made my point. Then they hired America's coach, and they have America's quarterback. I love it. I love everything about these guys. I don't love this move. Listen, I can still love this team and still think they're America's team and not love that move. So why do I not love the move? I don't know. You know, maybe I don't love the move because I can't separate the guy. I'm not talking about what he can do for their offense. I'm not talking about the plays that he makes. I'm not talking about what this guy can do in space. You know, I can't stop thinking about that video and what I saw in the video. The reason I don't love the move is because I hate what I saw in the video. To me, it's that simple. I don't love the move because I hate what I saw in that video. Yeah, Rome, how about giving the guy a second chance? All right. All right. How about letting the NFL finish its investigation? It hasn't even done that yet. How about waiting until the guy is off the commissioner's list before he decides that he deserves a second chance? He's still on that list. The reserve commissioner exempt list. He's not even off that list yet. The league hasn't finished its investigation yet. I'm not saying he doesn't ever deserve a second chance. I'm saying, why don't you let them finish their investigation before he gets that second chance? And what I am saying is, I don't love the move. I've loved everything else I've seen from this team in the past 9 months or so. I don't love that move, but I'm not surprised. One, he's got a prior relationship with the GM. Two, we know what this guy can do on the field. Where do you come out? Let's go to Nashville. Scott in Nashville. It's good to have you. Scott, how are you?
Fantastic, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a great day for me, and I've been a 20-year listener, a 60-year Browns fan. I'm now transplanted to Nashville, and I think it's a fantastic move, and I think the caveat that some of us are missing is that he is from Cleveland, and I think he has a great support system there, And I think we do have to let the due process play out. But I think it's a great fit for him and the team. I think he was going to sign somewhere, and I think this is the best fit for him. And we'll let everything play out. And I just think it's good for him. It's good for the team. And I don't think he could be in a better situation.
You got it, Scott. Listen, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you listening to the program for as long as you have. Thank you. All right, so he's saying, I'm a Browns fan. He's got roots in the area. It's a good place for him. He'll get the support he needs. Listen, anybody who signs this guy is going to say the exact same thing. I mean, let's be real. Anybody who brings in Kareem Hunt is going to say, he's sorry. He has the support here that he needs. He continues to get the help that he needs. And we've been very clear about what we will and will not tolerate. I mean, they're running the playbook, right? Every team would say exactly what they're saying. And they can say, our GM has a prior relationship with him and knows him and spoke to him. And we know what's in this guy's head. And we know what's in this guy's heart. And it's egregious. And we don't condone it. And he knows he was wrong. And he's trying to be better. And we're providing the support that he needs. He's getting the help that he needs. I mean, any team is going to run that playbook. They're going to say that. And they are. My feeling again is, and I'm not saying that a guy doesn't deserve a second chance. I'm saying maybe you let the NFL finish its investigation before you sign him. Maybe you wait until this guy's off the commissioner's list before you sign him. And even then, I'm not here to say that I'm really excited about it. And I love it because I can't shake what I saw in that video. You know, to me, things like that, that's not a bad night. We all have bad nights. We all have bad nights. We all do things and say things that we wish we could have back, that we regret. We all have regrets. But on your worst night, that should never happen. On your worst night. Let's go to Wichita. Daniel, it's good to have you on the show. Daniel, how are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing good. First time, long time. And I've been a Browns fan all my life, ever since the drive and the fumble. And I agree with you. I don't like the signing. I haven't felt like this about signing since the Browns signed notorious drug smuggler Baltimore Ratbird Jamal Lewis. It doesn't even make sense to me as far as a team concept, because they already have a rookie of the year candidate in Nick Chubb, and they've got Deion Lewis. And I know Kareem is probably better than both those guys combined, but the team would be fine without Kareem, so it doesn't seem to make sense to bring in a guy like that when you don't really need him. But I really just hope that he's going to turn around, he's not going to do anything to embarrass us, and once he is able to play, he can just bring it. Thanks, Jim. I'm out.
I think that's a pretty reasonable call. In fact, I think that's a very reasonable call. His argument is, by the way, we don't even need this guy. We don't need this guy. We have Chubbs. Is he going to back up Nick Chubbs? And I think that the team would say to you, what this guy is he's a weapon. He's another weapon that we're going to take advantage of in this offense. And we know he did wrong, and he's sorry for what he did, and he continues to get help to address what he did, and he wants to be a better version of himself. And he's really fast and really talented and really impossible to deal with in the open field. And we can take advantage of that. But that caller is saying, for the record, he doesn't really fit our system. We don't need him. So why would we bring him in? Why would we bring him in, given what he did? And why would we deal with the heat that we're sure to get when we don't need the guy anyway? They obviously feel like they need him or they wouldn't have signed him. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Corey in Youngstown. It's good to have you, Corey. How are you?
Hey, Romy. How you doing today?
Good, bud. How about you?
Good. I just kind of want to piggyback off the last caller's thoughts about Hunt, because I think Dorsey's prior relationship with him has a lot to play into it. Kareem Hunt's from Willoughby, which is a 25-minute drive to downtown Cleveland. I think John Dorsey's using that past relationship as a conduit to give Hunt a resource to do right by his own community. I mean, the incident that was on tape and that got blown up recently happened in Cleveland, and Hunt is from Cleveland. I think it's John Dorsey giving Hunt a chance to do right by his own hometown. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
All right, you got it. You know, let me ask you this. Do you look at that tape and say, you know what? I'm just posing the question. Do you look at that video where he kicks this woman, and that's what got him cut, and that's what got him onto the commissioner's list and the NFL with their investigation, which is ongoing? Do you look at that video and just say, you know what? I don't want a guy like that on my team, period. Period. I just don't want somebody like that on my team. Or do you look at that and say, yeah, well, it's my team, though, and this guy can really help us? I got a feeling that some of you Browns fans that are so quick to say he deserves a second chance might not be as quick to give him a second chance if you went to the Steelers or somebody else. Or does everybody deserve a second chance? I don't happen to subscribe to that. I'm not even saying that he doesn't. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve another chance or that he doesn't deserve an opportunity to play in the NFL again. I'm saying I'm just not excited about that signing. And maybe you wait until the NFL completes its investigation. Maybe you wait until this guy's actually off the commissioner's exempt list before you sign him. I'm just saying that I was really excited about everything this team's done. I'm still really excited about the team. But I'm not really excited about that move. Because I can't stop. I can't unsee what I saw in that videotape. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Cleveland. Lou in Cleveland. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Good, Jim. Thank you. First off and foremost, I 100% am disgusted with the tape, but I also believe that at 23 years old, he does deserve a second chance. He's a young kid from the area, which I think would help his cause. It's no sure thing that he makes the team after the NFL investigation, but there's no point in waiting for the NFL investigation. He committed a terrible act, but he's young enough to turn his life around, and I think with the right support system and the right protocols in place, the Washington Redskins went ahead, and I think it was Reuben Foster they signed. So there's plenty of examples. I just don't want to see a young kid go down the path of the Ray Rice incident, and certainly deserves another shot. We have a president in office that's done worse. I'm flaming. Goodbye.
All right, Lou, see ya. You know, other guys have done some pretty egregious things and gotten second chances and made the most of those chances. Hopefully he's one of those guys. We definitely will pick this topic up tomorrow as well. So if you didn't get through today, you know that will be a topic tomorrow. That's it. We're done. My thanks to Kyle Van Noy, the KVN show. He crushed it. In hour number one, we had Kelvin Sampson. We had John Morant. The XR4TI crew on a busy Monday. If you did not get through, we definitely will pick this conversation up again tomorrow. See you then. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. I'm out.